If you turn to Luke chapter 15, we're going to take a look at a familiar story. And we're going to take a look at the Father's heart. With this being Father's Day, I just really felt this was an appropriate message to share this morning. You know, Mark Twain says of Jesus that he was the best storyteller that ever lived, and that the prodigal son was the best story that he ever told. We're going to take a look at the prodigal son, and there are many storylines within this story. There is first the younger son, his rebellion, and eventual restoration. There was the jealousy of the older son, and a whole storyline that goes with that. And then another storyline was the reaction of the father toward both of his sons. But what we're going to focus on today is we're going to view this story from the father's perspective toward his younger son. We're not even going to touch on the older son today. We don't have time for that. We're going to look at the father's heart and his response. And what we see is that the father's story, it has a double meaning. All right? So when we look at this story, think of two things. Number one is that this story reveals the heart of our Heavenly Father toward us long before we knew Him. When we were wayward, this reveals His heart toward us. And secondly, it shows us how we need to respond toward others. If we want to have the heart of God, it teaches us how we should respond to loved ones. Okay? So, we're going to take a look at four characteristics of the Father's heart. But first, let's read the story, and then we'll go from there, beginning with Luke chapter 15, verse 11. It says, "And Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me.' And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything. But when he came to his senses," I love that, "when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" And verse 20 is one we're going to really focus on. "And he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to be very merry." Now, that's where we're going to stop with this story, but it goes on to talk about the older son's reaction and the father's response to the older son. But these scriptures reveal the heart of this father toward his wayward son. And there are four things that we can learn. And as we share these different characteristics, as I share them, ask yourself, you see, I believe that if we're close to the father and we have his heartbeat, these characteristics will be our characteristics, okay? And so kind of ask yourself, you know, is this a characteristic in my life toward others, okay? So the first characteristic we see is that of generosity. In verse 11 and 12, just going to Verse 12, you know, the younger son asked him to, hey, Dad, I want my share of the inheritance. And the father divided it between his two sons, his wealth. Verse 12 says he divided between them. So the father was very, very generous toward his sons. He was willing to share all that he had with them. How many of you know that God is generous with us? He has an inheritance awaiting us. There's a temporal inheritance and there's an eternal inheritance. In Proverbs 10:22, it says, "It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it." You and I can walk out our life with the blessing of the Lord on it in a way that it brings fulfillment and satisfaction and unbridled joy. I love Pam's unbridled joy this morning. You know, there's a lot of people who have money and material things, but there's no sense of fulfillment or satisfaction or joy with those. The things that God blesses our life with and will satisfy us. And so that's the blessing of the Lord in a temporal sense. But also from an eternal nature, the inheritance. 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4 says that there is an inheritance for every believer that is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, that's reserved in heaven for you. Some of what God has for us we can enjoy now, but most of it we're going to enjoy later. May's enjoying it right now. Ward's enjoying it right now, as many other loved ones have gone before us. But how many of you know with blessing also comes responsibility? There comes a responsibility to steward what God blesses us with. And what we see is with this father that he was generous toward his son, but unfortunately, the younger son did not have the maturity to steward the blessing of God, or the blessing of his father. Okay? And we see that he went out and as a result of receiving this inheritance without the maturity and the responsibility of stewarding it properly, it almost destroyed him. You know, so often there are times that we want things from God. Oh, God, give me this. And we don't always understand why we don't get something here or there. You know, the question is, can we steward it properly? Because we're better off not having it than having it and not being able to steward it properly, it having a negative consequence in our life. You understand what I'm talking about? I still remember very vividly when Corbin was just like 3 years old, maybe, and he had this cool leather coat with a fur collar. He was two, and little curly hair. And he had been sick and been in the house for about a week or so, and this is during the winter, and he got fed up. He got cabin fever. And we were living in Charlotte at the time, and he says, "I'm going to go see Travis." His little buddy. He's two, remember. So we're going to see how far he takes this. And he gets his coat on and zips, you know, the little leather coat. He looks so cool in it. And he walks out on the porch, you know, and he kind of stands there for a minute, looks around, walks back in the house. "Dad, I need the car keys." Now, I love my son, but I didn't give him the car keys. He would not have been a good steward, I'm sure, of the car. Sometimes we're like that. "Dad, I want this," or "I want that." And if we haven't proven ourselves good stewards in what he's already given us, why would we expect more, especially if it's to our detriment? Okay? So understand that God is generous toward us, but we have a responsibility to steward it wisely for our own good. Okay? And because God is generous toward us, I believe also that we should be generous toward others. We should be generous with our finances, with our love, with our forgiveness, with our time, with our talents. The second characteristic we see of the Father's heart is that of compassion. In verse 20, this is when the prodigal son came to his senses and decided to return, not as a son, but as a servant. Verse 20 says, while he was still a long way off, the prodigal son, his father saw him and felt compassion for him. I find this absolutely amazing. Here is a son who squandered his inheritance. He trashed the family name and proved himself to be grossly irresponsible. And then he's coming back home after doing all that. If that was your child, how would you respond toward him? If they had proven themselves that irresponsible and all the rumors were coming back to you of how they were taking their inheritance and squandering it on loose living, and then you see him come from a distance, how is your heart? One thing that amazes me about this dad, he did not let the actions of others embitter his heart and harden his heart. And we have to be careful because in Proverbs it says that we need to guard our heart with all diligence because out of it flow the issues of life. But we have to be careful to not let the actions of others, inappropriate, wrong actions, embitter and inflame and infect our heart. Okay? That was the father. He did not allow that loved one to hurt him in a way that it hardened his heart. But the father's response was that of compassion. And compassion means to show sympathy and pity. He protected his heart toward his son. I believe that he prayed often for his son. And that's how we get compassion, is by prayer. By praying for the one who's hurt us and the one who's wayward. And it keeps our heart guarded and it keeps our heart soft and protected. And it gives us compassion for that individual. And we see that a compassionate heart is a forgiving heart. A heart that remains tender and soft. And when we have compassion and forgiveness, it enables us to respond properly to the one who has hurt us, to the one who has gone out and did these horrible things. How did God respond to us when we came to our senses? Now think about that for a minute. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, at some point in time, we were all like the prodigal son. We are out there doing our own thing. And then all of a sudden we came to our senses and said, what am I doing? And when we approached God, how did he treat you? Was he loving and compassionate and forgiving when we came to him with a genuine heart of repentance and humility? He was, wasn't he? How would you have responded if you felt anger and rebuke and coldness from God? I'm going to look elsewhere, right? Now, if God responds to us that way, what we have done to God in our prodigal days is far worse than what any of us could do to one another. But yet, when we came to our senses and we approached God, he was compassionate and loving and caring and all these things. If we have the heart of God, we'll be that way toward others when they come to their senses and come and because We're all going to make mistakes. Husbands and wives, parents and children, siblings. None of us are perfect. And the important role that we play is that we come with humility and brokenness, and that's what the Son did. And the Father saw that. Psalm 145, verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He is slow to anger and great in mercy." That is the heart of our Father. And that is the heart that He wants us to have toward one another. It's God's heart, but is it our heart? Can we honestly say that we're full of compassion, that we're slow to anger, that we're great in mercy? Because that's God toward us, but is it us toward others? So the first characteristic is that of generosity. The second is that when God looks at us in our broken state, it doesn't anger Him. He feels compassion for us. And that compassion will always move you to action, okay? The third characteristic was that of love. Verse 20 goes on to say, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and he ran and embraced him." Now, what I think is interesting is that the father even stood looking on the horizon, and it made me wonder how many times the father went and stood and watched the horizon for the return of his son. I believe he prayed for him, and I believe that he cried out to God on the son's behalf. And maybe on a daily basis, he was looking for his son. Never gave up hope, never quit looking, but always kept believing for the best for his son. And what the father did was when he saw his son, he didn't wait for his son to come and to begin groveling and you know, "Oh, Dad, I'm so sorry." The fact that his son was returning, the father knew and saw, he knew that the son was broken. There's a brokenness about him because, in other words, he wouldn't have returned. He would still be out doing his thing. And the very first thing that the father did was to let his son know that he still loved him. He ran out with joy and excitement to meet his wayward son. You got to understand that in the culture of that day, it was very undignified for the father to go running out to the son. That was not an acceptable thing to do. But the father was so elated at seeing his son that he ran out to him and to let him know how much he loved him and how much he was glad to see him. You see, the father knew that it was time to love and not lecture. And as parents, when our kids do something wrong, there may be a time to lecture, but there's a time to love, and we need to make sure that we know if they come and they're broken and they know that they messed up, they know that they blew it, and they come very humble and apologetic, it is not a time to lecture. It is the time to extend compassion and a time to let them know, you know what? I still love you. I still love you. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we can make is to withhold love when it's needed the most and deserved the least. As parents and maybe even as spouses and siblings. Anger will make us withhold love. An embittered heart will make us withhold love. You know, and it's kind of like you got to earn it back. Well, the heart of the father was, you know, he loved his son. He wasn't going to make him jump through hoops or earn it back, sort of. When our kids mess up and know it, they need our love to begin the healing process. And having raised three kids, I think the greatest thing a dad can do is to let his kids know how much he loves them. You know, this is Father's Day, and you'll hear from your kids, and let them know how much you love them. You know, I always try to end my conversations with my children on the phone, and I'm always telling them I love them, because if something happened to me or to them, I always want the last words to be is I love you, and I never ever want them to even question for one second my love for them. And especially when the kids deserve it the least is when they need it the most of that love expressed toward them. Kids desperately need to see, hear, and experience their father's love. I cannot emphasize that enough. Maybe you came out of a family that does not show love, that is, let me tell you of a heavenly father who expresses his love freely toward his kids. Whether they're good kids or whether they're not so good kids, his love does not change, nor should ours. When a child messes up, hugging instead of hollering will have far greater impact. Okay? I'm not saying there's a time to discipline. There's a time for those things. But we have to know when our kids, when they're broken and know that they messed up, that love and that compassion will go a long ways. A true father's heart will always be one that is quick to love and quick to forgive. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all that you do be done in what? Be done in love. Are we following God's example of doing all things in love? Even when we have to discipline our children or our grandchildren, we have to do it in love. All right, and if we allow the actions of others to affect our heart, then it's going to be very difficult to walk in love and compassion. And then the fourth and final characteristic is that of acceptance. Verse 20 goes on to say, it says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, ran and embraced him, and kissed him. Now understand that in that culture, the kiss was a formal greeting, indicating acceptance of the one that you kissed. All right? A formal greeting that when you're kissed on the cheek, what it's saying is, I accept you, and you are welcome. The father wanted the son to know that he not only loved him, but accepted him back as his son with all the privilege of sonship. In verse 21 through 24, read that briefly. It says, and the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf. Kill it, and let's eat, and let's be merry. Wow, that's quite a response toward a rebellious son that just squandered his inheritance, trashed the family name, and just messed up at every level. That's sort of the last response most of us would expect, right? Well, the father was saying, I know you did all these things, but I'm accepting you back as my son. Now, it was significant what he did, because the robe, the ring, the shoes, all these things represented something. And the robe represented the fact that it restored the son to a place of sonship and honor. He did this so that the slaves and that everybody there would see what the father was doing toward the son. The father said, I am restoring him to that place of sonship and honor. He put the ring on his finger, which restored him to a position of authority, just in case any of the slaves wanted, the hired hands wanted to question it. He put sandals on his feet, which restored and elevated him above servanthood. And finally, he had a party. There was a celebration, which is a picture of reconciliation, of restoration, and full acceptance. You see, what we have to understand is the heart of God is to love and restore all who turn to Him in genuine repentance. It doesn't mean perfection, all right? And this is the heart that we need to have toward people who have sinned against us, who've messed up, you know, and they were wrong. They were absolutely wrong. This is the heart that we're to have toward them, is we're to show compassion and forgiveness and love and the things that God demonstrated toward us, we need to show that toward others. Now, note two very important things in this story. The father did not chase after his son during his time of rebellion. Now, I think this is really, really interesting. There's a tendency if we have a wayward child, we need to love them and pray for them and watch the horizon and long for their return. But the father knew that if he'd gone out and tried to talk his son back, you know, in the midst of his rebellion, in the midst of his hard-heartedness, the son had not sunk low enough to a low enough level where it made him come to his senses. So as parents, we have to have the wisdom to know, you know, if we have a child out there doing things, we have to pray for them and love them, let them know that when they come to their senses, they can return. But the father did not go chasing after the son, because I believe it would have been counterproductive. This is just my opinion, okay? It was the son's brokenness and repentance that brought him back to the father. If the father had gone out trying to convince the son to come back, I think it would have furthered his hardness rather than brought him back or brought him to a place of repentance. God accepts us when we turn to Him, even if we're still working through issues. None of us are perfect. All right? Understand, the whole point of this message is to understand the Heavenly Father's heart toward us. Okay? And this is the heart that we need to have toward others. That just because we're broken and return, how many of you know that the prodigal son didn't have it all together when he returned to the dad? He was humble, and that's what God is looking for, humility and kind of a brokenness and a repentance. And when it's genuine, then God can do things with that, okay? And so when people come to us, who've sinned against us, and they're broken, and there's a humility, and how can we not offer them compassion and love and respond to them the way that God responded to us? Now, I'll just say this, and we'll wrap it up. Some can read this story and think, hey, it's okay to go out and do what the son did, because I know eventually God will forgive me when I'm done doing what I want. This story is not a license. It's not permission for us to go out and be a prodigal. All right? Because there is fallout. There always has been and will always be consequences to sin. All right? And two big ones with the prodigal son. Now, understand in this story, both of the sons got their inheritance. One son remained faithful, although he resented the attention the younger son got, and that's another sermon for another day. But there's two things that fall out regarding the prodigal son. Number one, he had no inheritance. He squandered his inheritance, okay? He was welcomed back as a son, but there was no inheritance to enjoy. And secondly, he had shamed his family and himself, and he had to work through the guilt of it. God will forgive. And He'll restore. You know, you take two people, one person, you know, two people who become a Christian at the age of 18, one serves God their entire life, and faithfully. Then they go home, be with the Lord. And you take the other one who became a Christian, then they shortly after became a prodigal and kind of went out and lived their life. And then shortly before their death, they kind of return wholeheartedly to the Lord, and they pass away and go to be with the Lord. One squandered much of their life. And, you know, Jesus said, store up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy, or thieves break in and steal. The one who is faithful throughout his lifetime, I believe, is going to have far greater treasure in heaven than the one who accepted Christ but squandered their life and lived for themselves and squeaked into heaven, so to speak, and will have very little eternal inheritance. Don't get me wrong; it's going to be great in heaven, but you take people who live very sacrificially, very servant hearted, and committed to the Lord. There's a heavenly inheritance for them that one who will be maximized, where this one here who lives for themselves and doesn't serve God and doesn't serve others they're not going to have the inheritance, full inheritance waiting for them that this one might have. So there's fallout. So don't think it's okay that I know God will forgive me, so I'm going to, that's license to go out and sin and do this and that. It isn't. It really isn't. I want to close with this challenge. Today being Father's Day, I want to encourage you to take time to get alone with God. Today, just a couple of minutes, get alone with your Heavenly Father and thank Him for the heart that He has toward you. And ask Him to give you that heart toward others. This week, choose to love others the same way that God has loved you. Be generous, be compassionate, be loving, be accepting. And understand, you do these things because that's the heart of God. You don't do it because the actions of the other person warranted it. Because the Father did it when none of these things were warranted by the actions of His Son. Amen.